everybody, this is Wes, and you're listening to the W&O Show. The W&O Show is what's new is old, located on the Slurpcast Network, www.slurpcast.com. What's new is old is the show where we like to take new technology and relate that back to its original technology. Although Mark and I hardly ever do that, we just generally sort of talk about new gadgets and toys and have conversations while we eat dinner. Today, I'm joined. This is a very special show because today I'm joined by a friend of mine. His name is Axe, also known as the Italian Sausage. Say hello, Axe.
Hello, everyone.
The other reason why it's a special show today is because of the fact that Apple released its new iTunes version 7.7 as well as new iPhone and iTouch firmware. A little bit of controversy with that because yesterday, which was Thursday the 10th, the iPhone firmware was released and people started downloading it and enjoying it. However, us iTouch users were not allowed to use it. And we weren't sure if it was like, you know, if Apple intended that to happen or if it was just sort of they were not administratively ready to release it. Whatever the case, it seems that this morning they did finally release the iTouch version of the firmware 2.0 software, and I still cannot get it.
Why is that?
I think it's bandwidth. I think the issue is that the file is so, everyone's trying to get it so much that whenever I use the link to download it, it says can't connect to the Apple Store. Which is really bothering me.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Because I want to get the apps. I want to play with them. I can look at them. I can see them. And I can look at what I can do, but I can't do it yet.
And you've got it installed.
Yeah.
Axe already has it.
Although...
Oh, you're booting up now.
Although it's been crashing a lot.
Has it really?
I don't know what to make of it. I have the first generation iPhone here. And this is the second time it crashed this morning. I don't know what's going on.
Well, other people have been reporting issues with the 2.0 software on their iPhone, with the firmware. But there's always like a reason for it, like it's beta, or they grabbed the file from some other server, not the official Apple server, or they've bricked their iPhone, or
yeah.
So it's not really clear as to whether or not the firmware for the iPhone is, you know, bug free yet.
No such thing as bug free.
Okay.
You and I come from QA background, we know that.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. Okay, alright. What's the metric is when you're doing QA work, if the number of bugs getting fixed is higher than the number of bugs being reported, then you're golden master.
Exactly. Well, that's the golden master. Well, actually, I thought, don't they use that as the beta milestone? I don't know. I guess it depends on the organization.
Maybe, maybe that's beta. I've worked in two different companies where that was different. But, so yeah. So yeah.
I don't want to know about the company where they GM a software as soon as they hit that mark.
It's called ship it. Let's get it out the door. Ship it.
That's right. That's right.
So we are today at a place called Tart to Tart, and that's a joke or a play on words from the old Heart to Heart movie, TV show.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think.
Okay. I buy it.
It's an espresso bakery cafe joint where I tend to come and hang out with my buddies like Axe at lunchtime. This is in San Francisco.
It's on Mission and Montgomery. Good stuff.
Yeah, so I have my BLT.
I have my salami sandwich, which is super
awesome. And we have stories.
Apparently we do. Let's see it. So,
have you tried? Do you have the new firmware?
I do have the new firmware.
Okay.
So which one should we start with? I don't know.
The toilet?
Not that. We'll keep the best for the last.
Yeah, that is kind of the best for the last.
Yeah.
Okay, so talk about the App Store. You know, Axe, you know a little bit, probably a lot more about the App Store than I do. I have been able to go through and look briefly at some of the applications that are there, but I'm not able to download them, so it kind of prohibits me from being able to speak intelligently about some of the apps that are available. And I see by looking at your home screen that you've got nothing but icons.
I know. They got a quite few free wares on iPhone now.
What's the percentage in the App Store?
So something like, what I heard is, and I could be wrong, but it's something like 20% of all the applications that are listed on the App Store are free.
Okay.
And something like 80% of the apps are free or below $9.99.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is kind of cool. And I found a few apps last night that are really cool. And I don't know if you guys know about this phenomenon called Twitter. It's categorized into genre of microblogging. Is that what they call it?
Social network blog, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Mark loves Twitter.
Oh yeah, he does?
Yeah, he also likes BrightType.
Okay,
which is
right.
Kind of an extension of Twitter in the sense that it's location based.
Right.
But people can follow you and listen and okay.
Yeah, stuff like that, right? People basically who have nothing better to do, really, follow you all day long and you can just kind of like say a word or two every now and then and keep them happy, right? So this is a pretty big thing lately in the tech industry. Everyone's doing it. And they have this cool application called Twitterific. One paste comes in free with ad support.
Okay.
And another one for $9.99 or something, which is ad free.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Other than that, they have, you know, the standards like the AOL Instant Messenger client. Kind of cool. Facebook. See, they have Yelp. I don't know if you guys know about Yelp.
What's Yelp? No.
Yelp is a pretty popular website, especially in San Francisco Bay Area. The headquarters is actually a couple of blocks from here. And they do local reviews. But unlike Yahoo Local or, you know, all of these big, large companies trying to get into the market, Yelp really does a good job of, activating the community.
Okay.
They really care about the community. They have these elite program where you can become a Yelp elite.
Wow.
Anyway, long story short, if you go to Yelp.com, that's Yelp.com, you can find a lot about your area and the restaurants and cool places you can go to. I highly recommend it, and there's a cool iPhone client for it. So
cool, awesome. I think I've actually added in the show notes some of the restaurants where Mark and I go.
Yeah.
I think I've actually found Yelp listings of and posted those in the
notes.
So
that
makes sense. That's very cool.
It's awesome.
Awesome. Oh, and you've got Evernote. There's an Evernote client, which Mark uses often to store websites, articles that he finds interesting.
Have you guys talked about Evernote?
Yes, we have. And he talks about using it.
Okay.
He's dissatisfied with some of the features of Evernote on his Pocket PC. But that's very cool that I can see that there. So
yeah, and there's this application is also cool. It's called Shazam. That's Shazam. And what this allows you to do is, let's say you're listening to radio in a car or whatever, and you hear something really cool, music, and then, but, you know, DJs, as always, forget to mention the name, or you didn't hear the name, whatever, right? But you want to know about the music. What you do is launch this application and then point the microphone towards wherever the sound is coming from. And then it'll record for 10 seconds or so.
Okay.
And then it actually sends that up to the server.
Okay.
And server analyzes the music pattern. It's like signature, right?
Right, right.
And then figures out what that music is. and then comes back with all kinds of useful things like YouTube link for
wow,
it.
Wow.
And out of
nice.
Good information about the music, and
that's
I tried
cool.
it on, what was it? Tenacious D, The Metal. I was probably a minute into the song, and I just started recording 10 seconds. And they send the sound over to server, and within 5 seconds they figured out
wow.
that this is actually Tenacious D, The Metal.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know what? That, you know what that means to me is that means that being able to do voice recognition for things like voice to text work with speech recognition.
You could do that, yeah.
That, the technology, which is sort of, I think, what's going on there, they're doing some convolution process type evaluating. They're evaluating the waveform and matching it against another known waveform.
Now, actually, that's a great segue, because there's another cool application I found last night. And this is actually an existing service. I've been using it for a while, but they also released an iPhone application for it.
Okay.
It's called Jot, J-O-T-T.
Yeah, okay.
You know about Jot?
I know about Jot.
Right. So what it does is you can launch the application, and then, you know, first time you have to set up the account or whatever.
Yeah.
But once it's set up, you basically record whatever memo you want to do.
Yeah.
Like you do with the digital micro recorders
right.
In a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever you have thoughts,
right.
you just record it. And then later, it shows up in the server. They also send you an email
yeah.
with what they think you said.
Now, they're open in the sense that they tell you that the actual translation process is done by humans, done by people like in another country, probably earning a few cents per message or what have you.
Right.
But they're open to it. There have been companies before that did the same thing but would lie. And much like we were talking about the Mechanical Turk the other day.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They would pretend like there was actually computer and artificial intelligence going on that was doing the translation work when that's not the case. So Jot is pretty respected in my book. I think they're a pretty good company.
So it's a very interesting concept. I like it. I don't know. That's about like the stun, kind of cool, but not covered
right.
by every one
right.
Kind of iPhone app I found so far.
So the disadvantage for me is that I have a touch, which means I don't have a microphone or a speaker. So
that's true.
So I'm not going to be able to take advantage of some of the voice recording features unless I buy an extension. There's possibly, and probably with the application store coming out, there's probably going to be an incentive for a company to come out with a plug-in microphone, if it doesn't exist, for the iTouch.
It is
possible. To allow it to do things like Skype and things like that. I've seen hacks on the web that allow people to use things like Skype by hooking up a microphone and speaker. But in any case,
okay.
So yeah, cool. Your experience with the store is cool?
Store is so far been pretty cool. Although this morning, that's Friday morning, there's been a lot of reports about, you know, the site being overwhelmed and
yeah.
not being as responsive. I'm sure this is a one time only problem. They'll solve it.
I think something like this happened before when they released the 114 firmware
yeah.
with the software update or the extra where you had to pay to get the other applications for the touch.
Yeah.
So
well, good stuff.
Cool, man. Let's see. I don't really know. So the other nice little trick in the 2.0 version of the firmware is that it has the ability to do screen capturing. And Axe was going to go ahead and try it. I don't know if he had already done it. The idea is that you hold down the home button, and while you're holding the home button down, you hit the power switch, and it takes a screenshot of whatever you're looking at. No?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe not.
It says, okay, you're supposed to hold the home button and then hit the power sleep button, and presto, a capture of your screen is in your photos.
Oh, okay. Sorry. All right, let's see. Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. So it kind of does the flashing.
Yeah.
The whole screen goes to white and then comes back.
It fades out, fades
right.
back.
And then I'm going to
that
photos
look kind of cool,
now.
Actually.
Camera roll. There you go.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah, with the before with the jailbroken phones, they actually had that externalized. Oh. Apparently, this is the way Apple's been doing a lot of screenshots.
Mm-hmm.
So this was an internal tool before, and now they externalized it. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is very cool.
Yeah.
Kind of a cool little neat tidbit of information, little factoid.
Yeah.
When the first iPods came out, after they were kind of commonly accepted, first generations, once Apple had reached the point where they were pretty much dominating all of the MP3 hardware markets, the doors started to open up for third-party hardware manufacturers to start experimenting with devices that would work in parallel with the iPod. Things like iPod-specific headphones. There were some microphones that were created for like the first and second generation. Maybe, I'm not sure about the first generation. One of the bigger markets where the case is still the case market.
Yeah.
The iPod case market. Companies are making a lot of money, including designers now, designing iPod cases for all the different versions of iPods. Leather. There's even a guy who retrofits iPod cases and iTouch cases with gold replacements.
Oh, great.
24 karat gold.
How much is that going to cost me?
It's the bling model of the iPod. The guy literally calls it something like the bling case replacement or something. And what you do is you mail this thing to him. You mail your iPod to him. And he literally takes it apart and replaces the outer shell with this modified 24 karat version of... And I'm sure it's mixed with something else. Because if it's 24 karat gold, it's going to be soft.
But I think you're right.
So there's been this incredible market there where people are making tremendous amounts of money doing this sort of thing, making mods to the cases. But anyway, along the lines, what I'm getting at is Axe and I are both interested in music, and we have an interest in digital audio recording and digital audio recording software.
Yep.
And there have been a smattering, as I like to say, of mixers for iPods now, and they're actually quite common. Numark, who else?
Belkin
have come out with mixers that you literally plug your iPod into, and it'll allow you to sort of replace the turntable with your iPod, which is cool because it's more convenient. You've got a hard drive in there with like 30,000 different songs. You can mix them all together. It turns you into a really cool DJ without having to lug all the records. So this one device here that's been unveiled is the Go Studio iPod recording dock, which is from Belkin. Everybody's kind of laughing at it a little bit because it doesn't support the latest generation iTouch or iPhone.
No, it doesn't.
No, it's only pre... What is it?
iPod Classics and Nanos.
Yeah. iPod Classics and Nanos. But it is probably one of the best recording devices that I've seen for the iPod that allows you to kind of keep it around the same form factor. It's just a little bit bigger. You actually slide the Classic into this sleeve, which kind of wraps around the iPod and gives you access to a volume and a couple of buttons that allow you to record. And then at the base, at the top, are these XLR jacks to actually put professional microphone recording equipment into it. It does not do 24-bit, it only does 16-bit recording, but it's still for podcasting and voice. It's like, that's fine. It's what we're doing right now, so...
It's only $120.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you've got like an old iPod or an iPod Classic 5th generation floating around or something, 80 gig hard drive, just pop that baby in. Take it with you. I bought a couple of cheap microphones for the 5th generation iPod, and I was never impressed with the cheaper.
I actually have an iPod Classic, and this little device, I don't even know who makes it. This little device that's speaker and microphone.
Okay.
Now, I don't know about this particular Belkin Go Studio we're talking about here, but as far as my little one is concerned, the sound quality is okay. Like, I would totally bring that to a meeting, to record meeting notes or whatever. Okay. And but it drains battery so fast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like after 40 minutes, it's gone.
That's one of the bigger concerns with the 3G iPhone that was released today.
That is true.
Which has nothing to do with what you were just talking about. But
actually, since last night, when I loaded my new firmware 2.0 onto my iPhone, I've been draining battery a lot, and I don't know if it's me just playing too much or it's doing something more.
That's interesting. Yeah, if you think about it, you're right. That's a concern for me too, because as you start using, like, I only use the iPod to do some brief web browsing, or the iTouch to do some brief web browsing, as well as changing the volume of the songs I'm playing back. But other than that, the screen is off, and I'm not wasting that much battery power.
Right, exactly.
So when I start downloading apps and using those apps continuously for hours, battery life's gonna suck.
Yeah, I know. I mean, what people don't realize is this firmware 2.0, as well as the first one, is actually a copy of Leopard that's running on this little device. And wow. Apple has cut a lot of corner in Leopard to make sure there's nothing, you know, excessive running on it, and that it's able to run, you know, without draining too much battery. They did a lot of job, but they can only do so much, you know.
Just give us replaceable batteries, Steve. Come on.
That's right. We want those. Seriously.
Or or work with other companies to come out with fuels with battery cells. Use fuel cell technology, man.
Yeah, we could do that. We could do that totally. Come on, Steve.
8 hours of talk time? What are you talking about? How about 8 months?
How about not recharge at all? You know what? It'll be cool.
It'd be awesome.
By the time you need a new battery recharge, you'll have to buy a new one.
I know.
How about that? That'd be awesome.
Lifetime battery.
Yep. Okay. I don't know. How long do you guys usually run?
Usually half an hour. But
half an hour?
Yeah. So we're good.
Okay. Cool.
So the other thing I wanted to talk about briefly is that Nokia completed their acquisition of Navtech recently. And what that does is it allows Nokia to embed and work with Navtech's mapping software, as well as their pretty much ownership of all of the map, probably one of the best map databases around. Companies like TomTom and Google, and there's like this whole push to map areas around the world, map the whole, all the streets. And so Nokia is now branching out a little bit more away from phones into things like web application, web hardware devices, portable devices. And this acquisition of Navtech is a little bit interesting because it sort of, it puts them more, I don't know, it kind of sends them in a direction where they're like acknowledging, okay, phones are not the only way we're going to be profitable. We have to look at other ways of making some money. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about that and touch on that.
Well, so here's a question. Isn't Navtech the one, the company that's supplying Google with the pictures and stuff?
Interesting. You know, I don't know.
Okay. This is kind of interesting, I guess, from the perspective of, okay, so Nokia is now taking the route of owning GPS and map, all right, that technology, whereas, well, I hate to go back to iPhone once again, but iPhone is taking the route of using existing web services, such as Google Map, to access the GPS-ish features.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting, the kind of contrast there is there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see what comes out of Nokia, but it's good that they're looking at different things. we'll pretty soon be driving Nokia cars.
Nokia cars. Well, there is a rumor about that Apple car, right?
Oh, really? No, I didn't know about that.
I think, reportedly, Volkswagen and Apple are working on something dubbed iCar.
Oh, you know what's interesting is the guy who does the development, the designer, came from, the iMac designer came from, I think, the same company that did Volkswagen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's the rumor. Is it?
You mean Jonathan Ive?
Yeah, Jonathan Ive at one point came from. Was it Jonathan Ive? Because he's been there a long time.
He's the one who designed iMac with Steve Jobs.
Then that was him, because then he did come from Volkswagen. And he'd only been there for a very short period of time. I think he designed the first Volkswagen, the new Beetle.
New Bug?
Yeah, the new Bug. So.
Huh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So the last item that I have to talk about is one of my, I like to do, sometimes I like to go outside of the technology arena, although this still falls into the technology arena. As a kid, I remember my mom talking about something called a bidet.
What's that?
It's the way she described it was this wonderful experience that you had when you went to the bathroom in a European country that had a bidet.
Okay.
So you walk up to this thing that looks like a toilet seat, and you open up the lid, and you know what? It's got a water faucet aimed up directly at you.
Wow.
And you know, you hit a button or you turn a knob or however it is set up. It basically sets off a spray, and the idea is that it cleans you. You don't need to use toilet paper, and it's popular in other countries. Well, U.S., we just wipe. That's all we do. we don't know anything about any water faucets shoved up our rear ends. That doesn't...
You know, I don't know about you, but only naughty thoughts come out of that for me. I don't know about you.
Well, women would probably get a bit better kick out of some of that stuff than...
Okay, anyway, let's not go there.
Yeah, all right, we're getting a little bit. So a company out of Japan created something called the Toto Washlet Toilet, and it's literally the cheap end device is a toilet seat replacement. You literally take off the toilet seat in any American toilet and replace it with this electronic gadget that then has a movable spray that pops out underneath and aims up. Apparently, it's a precision instrument, as they talk about, and it also it does things like warms up the water when you sit down, but doesn't do anything. You hear the engine go on, and then it sits there passively until you're ready to do your thing, and hit a button, or somehow you let it know that you're done, and it starts spraying your behind areas.
It's priceless.
Oh man! So the device itself goes for somewhere around the basic model is the C100. The C100 goes for around $500. The next model up is the S300, which is a $755 purchase. Now that one has, what does that have? That has air drying as well as the toilet seat lifts up when you approach the toilet.
Wow.
I gotta have that one. I'm all about the air. I mean, if I'm gonna have something spray my butt after I'm done, it's gotta blow it dry.
Yeah, or else you're gonna end up wiping your ass anyways.
I know, exactly. So
that's funny. So you can buy this in the States now?
No, well, they ship it from Japan directly to the States. And they actually have specific. Oh, it's available from Amazon. So Axe just pointed that out. There's a link directly to Amazon, but I think it's probably still shipped from Japan.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be.
Because that's what the article was mentioning.
Now, all I know is, I'm from Japan, and I grew up there. I was there until 16 years old.
Okay.
And I'm not going to say how long ago that was. I'm not going to date myself. But when I was growing up, they didn't have this. And then I moved to Hong Kong and eventually to the States.
Uh-huh.
And then I started hearing about this thing. And
was it ever called a bidet?
It is. It's okay. Actually called a bidet in Japanese, which is basically that.
Okay.
And it freaks me out. Kind of weird.
I don't want electronics or anything, motorized, near my sphincter.
I know. And I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking too much, but I don't want to get used to getting that treatment. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I need my wiping done.
Yeah, if you start to enjoy, you know, going to the bathroom a little bit more, it's like, what are your friends going to think of you?
Exactly.
What's your girlfriend going to say? It's like, honey, you're spending an awful lot of time in the bathroom.
Hey, you know what? I'm not here for number two. I'm only doing number one.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to sit down today.
Well, the C1, the low-end model, has an extra sprayer for the labia area.
Wow.
So, and the guy who wrote the article said he was unable to test that due to anatomical reasons.
Right. Does he have a girlfriend?
Yeah, I know. So anyway.
Wow.
That's kind of interesting.
It's priceless.
So that's it for the stories. I think we're pretty much done with the Apple iTunes and iPhone 3G special. So again, Axe, thanks for joining me in the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Also known as the Italian sausage.
Long story.
Yeah.
Not going to go there.
We'll go there some other time. Maybe. We'll dedicate a whole show to the Italian sausage.
Oh, right.
Excellent.
Right. Excellent.
Yeah. So again, Mark will be back probably sometime next week. We'll see what happens. I think he's going to be coming back here on Saturday. But again, thank you guys for listening. This is the W&O Show, www.slurpcast.com.
Peace out.